Hello, and this is Chris Fisher with the Connecticut Crossroads Project, and I am joined by, what's your name?
Kara Spath.
And Kara, I actually don't know a heck of a lot about you, so where do you live?
I live in Southbury, Connecticut.
Awesome. It's a beautiful town. So I wanted to talk to you. I was really excited to talk to you because of your involvement with, your creation of the not-for-profit, the Pink Chair Project. But before we talk about that, let's talk about you. So did you grow up in Connecticut?
I did. I grew up in Monroe, Connecticut.
And when did you leave?
I left Monroe when I got married, when I was 21 and 22 years old. And we moved to Trumbull.
You were babies.
We were babies. Yeah, absolutely. So we moved, I moved from Monroe to Trumbull with my husband. And then we lived there for, I don't know, probably 12 years. And then we moved up to Southbury.
So I really don't know a whole lot about Trumbull. So describe it to me. Like, what's it like? What was it like when you were growing up?
Monroe or Trumbull?
Monroe.
No, it's okay. Monroe's great. It's like a quaint little town that runs between, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it runs between like Bridgeport and Danbury, sort of, on Route 25. Back in the day, it didn't have much to offer, just some parks, a couple schools, some farms, you know, little low-key town. For fun, there wasn't much to do except for, you know, ride your bike to the park.
Drinking in a cornfield.
Yeah, I was just gonna say hanging out, not drinking, in a dead end somewhere, maybe on a path somewhere. I don't know. There was not much to do growing up in Monroe, but I loved every minute of it. So
is there a reason that you guys chose not to stay down in Monroe, or when you got married as babies?
So Jason, he actually grew up in Trumbull. So that's kind of how we ended up in Trumbull next. And as much as we loved living in Trumbull and raising our kids, and we had a great, a bunch of great friends, and the elementary school was amazing, Jane Ryan Elementary. It just, you know, there wasn't a lot of land, let's say. Mm-hmm. And like, as much as I loved my neighbors, they literally would like live right next door. And we'd be out in the pool and they'd be sitting at their kitchen table and they'd wave to us. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of privacy. So that's kind of how we ended up coming up this way, for, you know, more land, more bang for your buck type of thing.
Did Southbury kind of remind you more of Monroe in that way too?
Yeah. Not as populated. You know, everything was a little more spread out, a little more country feel. But I love Southbury. I don't regret it at all. I love living up here.
What do you love about it?
I love how, like, you know, how it's built up and there's shops and grocery stores and everything's kind of, you know, all along Main Street South. But what I love about it is that it's classy and there's not a lot of like commercialized, you know what I mean? Like Southbury has done like a brilliant job, like presenting the town, like the small town feel, but offering a lot of stuff, restaurants and shopping. And I don't know, I love that about it. And I loved our elementary school when the kids were little and the people. So I've really kind of grown into it.
So something that always strikes me about Southbury, growing up in New Milford, like we have the Green, right? And the Green is like where everybody goes. It's like right. The center of town. It's easy to congregate there. I always felt like, you know, Main Street or South Main Street, whatever it is in Southbury, was so built up. Do you feel like you have that sense of community still, like that connection?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you know, one of the things I loved about it too, you know, Trumbull, I don't know size wise, like what the difference is, but Trumbull, there is a ton, like a lot more houses closer together. But there wasn't like a center of town per se. And like, as much as we had sidewalks and everything like that, it was really like kind of spread out, believe it or not. So
okay.
When we moved up here, I loved that whole like Main Street South feel with the gazebo and ShopRite. And, you know, one of my favorite things, although they could be annoying at times, was, you know, middle school gets out at 2 or 3:15 or something. And like on a nice warm day, that's all you see are like, you know, all the Rochambeauers walking to eat at local restaurants and, you know, going to wreak havoc on Walgreens, and, you know.
So, I love South Britain. I think it is so cute.
South Britain. I fell in love with it too. Like, I don't know. I love the whole, like, I love the country store and like driving down the road and the old church. And yeah, that was one of the things that first caught my eye when we were looking up here was, you know, the old buildings and like the quaintness. It reminded me of like New Hampshire, Vermont, or someplace like that, you know. And but with also still, like, this was super important to me, you know, living in Trumbull, everything was in such a close distance. The grocery store was 5 minutes away. So when we first started looking in Southbury, we looked at a lot off of West Purchase, which is way out there. And, you know, we timed ourselves driving to the grocery store and it was like 13 minutes. And I was like, yeah, no, there's no way I could do that. So that's how we kind of happened in the South Britain part of town, because we found a lot like right on this main road, but set back so we still get the privacy. And
oh, do you live in South Britain?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, okay. I live right on South Britain Road, actually. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I love their little library. of course, I'm biased.
I feel like it's so, I know. I have never been in it, though, but it's adorable from the outside. I don't, you know, honestly, since COVID, I don't think they've actually opened it.
Well, so I have to admit, I say that I love it, but I've also never been inside of it. I just think it's adorable from the outside.
It is adorable from the outside for sure.
So, let's talk about the Pink Chair Project. So, okay. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. So, for our audience that probably has not heard, I run a nonprofit organization called the Pink Chair Project. What we do is offer support to breast cancer patients by loaning them a reclining lift chair. They typically deliver it right before surgery. They come home from the hospital and they have like a kind of people have described it as a hug to kind of sit and heal after surgery. Then when they're done, we pick it up and we give it to the next person.
So, just because I'm sort of ignorant to the whole process, like, why is this sort of chair so important to... Yeah.
So let me go back. So being that I had breast cancer, you know, 8 years ago, had to have a double mastectomy. I was 41 years old. So I had double mastectomy. I'm in the hospital. I come home and you have to sleep elevated because when they take off your breast, they put the expanders in for reconstruction and you have like 4 drains. So they want you to sleep elevated so that the fluids, obviously they drain out of your body and not stay in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, sleep elevated. So I come home, I prop myself up on pillows. I can't get comfortable at all. So my parents, you know, I'm complaining to them, they're going to do everything they can for me because I'm sick and, you know, whatever, going through all of this. So they have a reclining chair downstairs. So I try it and it felt wonderful just to be able to sit elevated in a chair for one. Although theirs was not a fully electric reclining lift chair, it still kind of brought me kind of the comfort I needed to heal and to process everything. So a couple years later, you know, my daughter, who's now was in high school at the time, wanted to like kind of come together and like do something to help women like what I was going through, help them go through it. So that's how we kind of came up with the idea for the Pink Chair Project. Kind of making people feel how I felt in that reclining lift chair. I slept in that chair for 2 to 3 months, I had some complications. And I had a hard time getting out of that chair and going back in my bed. So that's kind of how we came up with the premise behind the Pink Chair Project.
So you had mentioned how, not only obviously is there physical healing, but there's mental healing, processing it all. Do you guys deal with that at all in the Pink Chair, or is it strictly, chair?
I actually start to tear up a little bit because, being that it was just Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's obviously very near and dear to my heart, but regardless of the chair, people have referred to it as a hug and a support system. And that's kind of exactly what Emmy and I had in mind when we started the Pink Chair, was a support system. Unfortunately, when you're diagnosed with breast cancer or any kind of breast cancer, right? It kind of puts you in this group, a club that you don't really want to be in, but you're in. You're a breast cancer survivor. So for me, it's super important to meet the women in these chairs. I've had a few men as well. Just to meet them, hear their stories and kind of help them try to heal is what the Pink Chair is all about.
No, please don't. This is awesome.
Chris.
You're making me cry, Kara.
So. I know, I'm sorry. And I can't even get through it without tearing up a little, just because, in a way, I always say to everybody, breast cancer really has changed my life. And for the better. Before cancer, I was dealing with my stuff, but I don't know. It's you forget and you just kind of roll with the punches, and then you get hit with something like that. And it just really makes you evaluate your life and puts everything into perspective. And the fact that I survived and I'm able to talk about it and help women go through what I went through, it means a lot.
I'm sure it's healing for you.
Definitely.
So how many women you've given chairs to?
Yeah. So we're up to about 185 women over the last, it's actually coming on to 3 years that we've started. So 185 women. We have expanded to New Haven County, Fairfield County, Litchfield County, and Westchester County now. So that's where we go to provide these chairs to women. What's crazy to me though is the need is so much there. I get inquiries from all over the United States to get chairs. It's crazy to me. People just hear about it and then they reach out. We also recently started doing chair grants. So what that means is we have two application processes. One's for a loaner chair, and then one is a grant, which meaning I'll give someone who's, stage 4 metastatic, who, prognosis is not well, or is just dealing with the pain from having cancer all over their body, we will give them a chair now for good. That's theirs permanently. And I love doing those.
And you personally deliver these?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not all of them, but most, especially the grants. I won't miss that, but I do have some help, and so I don't do all the deliveries, but I love doing the deliveries. That to me, that's my favorite part about this whole project, is just, like I said, meeting these women, hearing their stories, seeing the face in the chair. Also I should mention that with the chair, we also deliver a Pink Chair Project journal.
Okay.
And a crocheted heart. And those are two of my second favorite things, because the journal, love this idea, because with every chair goes, most every chair goes a journal. And so I always ask the chair recipients to write in the journal, a few words of wisdom to the next chair recipient, and then also like how the chair helped in their recovery. Cause I love to like hear the feedback and just how the chair made a difference. And it has, like, it's remarkable.
Are there any entries that you remember that are particularly touching?
I mean, there's pretty much all of them are touching in one way or another, right? I mean, there hasn't been too many that, you know, haven't really touched my life or my heart. And then the other thing is someone that was a chair recipient before came up with this awesome idea to, she crocheted these pink hearts and we left the top open and we put two hearts together and we put inspirational messages in them. And so that's another kind of favorite thing is that they get this little heart with an inspirational message. And that I always say, like, you know, if, when you need a pick me up, open the heart, read the message. And I always ask that they either return the heart with the chair with a new message in it or to pass it along to somebody who kind of needs a pick me up.
That's so you're talking about how this has evolved, right? You're talking about how you've added these things. Was it hard to start in the beginning? I mean, I know personally, not-for-profits can be difficult, but yours is just such a brilliant idea. So
thank you. It was a little, you know, and fortunately for me, I was very lucky to have a friend of a friend that owned a medical supply store in Southbury who, you know, also at the time was just finishing up, I believe, cancer treatment. So he's a cancer survivor himself. My friend tells him about, you know, what I'm trying to do. He loves this idea. So he decides that he's not only is going to help me store the chairs, but he's going to donate my first two chairs. So that was just the break I needed to get started. And then from there, it kind of just took off. You know, right now we own 35 reclining lift chairs that we've purchased over the last, you know, 3 years. We've provided chair grants to, I believe it's up to eight women. And that's, you know.
So I asked this because I feel like it helps you because it's one of the ways that you reach out outside of this. But so how do you raise money for the chairs? What are the events that you guys host that sort of help you move forward with this project?
Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been too many.
Okay.
Because of COVID.
Yeah.
But you know, little things here and there, you know, fortunately for us too, like the chairs have made such a difference in the lives of these women. And, you know, I'd say about 50% will give back after they're done with their journey or, you know, have a friend who was so touched by what we do, you know, fundraised for, this is someone in particular, 6 months or 7 months, just took all her little extra money, put it aside and was able to buy a chair. You know, the chairs are cost $1,000. So that's kind of how we do it. If they want to sponsor a chair, it's $1,000. You get the chair and you get a pad with whatever you want on it. But yeah, we've had like, you know, local towns like recently Wolcott, Pop Warner, the whole month of October did fundraisers. They raised over $2,200 for our organization. So we kind of rely on people like that, generous donations. And then we do little things like we have in March to celebrate women's National Women's Day. We do like a light the night. We've done a bunch of brewery fundraising events and I don't know, other stuff.
It strikes me how, when you're talking about this, how, you know, you took this energy. I don't want to like simplify the whole thing. So forgive me, but like, you took this energy you had after the fact and gave back. And then you're talking about how these women and men after the fact, after they get your chairs are doing the same thing. And I think that's just absolutely, I don't have any questions about it. I just think it's beautiful.
Like life full circle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really striking.
And we also did a golf tournament. We raised a lot of money in our golf tournament, and that was a great time. And we have so many people that come back. It was our third year this year. So that's kind of been amazing. Everybody who supports us and, you know, values what we do.
So you talked about there being a national need, and you get requests from all over the nation. Like, are there other organizations that do this sort of thing, or?
You know what, I believe so. I recently patented our name and our trademark. So, cause I have had so many inquiries and, you know, quite honestly, like someone brought it up to me, like, you know, of course my head is spinning, like, oh my gosh, like I can bring this national, I can, you know, like spread it all over the country and help people worldwide. But, you know, they kind of said to me, like, Kara, you know, that's your name. And you don't know, like in other states, like if those people are going to represent my organization the way I represent my organization. So that's kind of where I was with that. Like, I didn't feel like I wanted to branch out and do that. I know the need is there, and I'm more than willing or happy to, you know, talk to anybody who wants to start their own organization like ours anywhere else in the wherever. But I just felt like, you know, the Pink Chair Project really meant a lot to me, and I wasn't willing to kind of, you know, not trust it to just anybody.
It's a hard thing. Sorry.
No, I said, if that makes sense. Like,
what? No, I think it's a hard thing when you're, it's a double-edged sword, right? When you run an organization, because you want it to keep going and you want to prep other people to take leadership once you no longer want to or can or whatever.
And you want to build it, right? Like build it up. And right. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if it was nationwide? But that's way more than I can handle.
The international headquarters for the Pink Chair Project at Spath Industries. So how has... I mean, I'm sure the Pink Chair Project has sort of grown your community and your world too. Mm-hmm. Even outside of, you know, folks who are helping, like, you know, this thing that you talked about with Light the Night or whatever, you know, you're out there engaging, and you're a social person anyway, Kara, but can you talk about that at all?
What about engaging and
just about how it's sort of grown your community or engaging, whatever you want to talk about, however you want to answer my question.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think it has grown our community, you know, especially my community of breast cancer, like fellow breast cancer survivors, right? Mm-hmm. Like it just getting the word out there and going to different events and like spreading the word is getting it out there, and it's awareness. Although I feel like, you know, breast cancer is one of those cancers, there is a lot of awareness out there, but maybe not awareness of like the need to of how to heal or, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, like I think I think what's really great about yours is you offer a single service. It's not just sort of this like nebulous, I mean, not single, I don't want to simplify it that much, but like, it's not just sort of a nebulous idea of, oh, donate money to... and I think that's really brilliant. And it's personal, and it's obviously very personal to you.
I know, it's definitely very personal.
So, trying to think if I have anything else to ask, because this is excellent, and I made you cry at least once. So,
it doesn't take much, Chris. It really does, especially at the tail end of Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah. Did you guys do anything for like fundraisers or anything to raise awareness?
No, but you know what we did start doing last year? It's, you know, unfortunately, that's one of the things I don't love about Southbury is that I've tried to do like, you know, townwide pink events, and the selectmen isn't too like, not too willing to like really help our cause per se, which is surprising because he did tell me once that he had a family member with breast cancer, but whatever. I'm not, you know. Anyway, so we wanted to do a bunch of stuff throughout the town, but we were not able to. But one thing I was able to do was to have parking signs made up for residents in town. And I have eight or nine of them, and I put them all over the place. And basically, it's just a cool thing for the whole month of October that says parking for breast cancer survivors and patients only. So I'm pretty proud of those, and I love that. And, you know, I'm so happy to be able to share that with my town. And, you know, I love getting texts from people all over the town, like, thank you, Kara, you know, with a picture of their car with the sign in the background or whatever. So that's another thing that we've been trying to do and, you know, get our word out there in this town.
That's awesome. Do you have any are there future big plans for the Pink Chair Project besides going national? Anything that
you know, honestly, I love the parking sign thing. I would love to see that flourish like to surrounding towns, definitely. And you know, I just think it's like an awesome thing to be as a survivor too, to like pull up and see, you know, parking for us, right? Like but yeah, I don't know. Maybe some other stuff in the work, but.
Well, Kara, thank you so much. This was fabulous. It's exactly what we wanted. Super easy peasy, right?
Yeah, no, it was totally great. Happy to do it.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording now.